If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now, go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right.
Pull up a pew. Welcome to Down the Dog with me, Matt Ford.
And me, John Richardson.
Well, John, we just need to... We're all down the dog, obviously. We're in the Dog and Master.
Welcome. John.
Thank you. We pulled up a pew at the bar. But the landlord, Danny, is here, but there might be a bit of food poisoning going around the dog, so maybe don't order any food today. But Danny, are you okay?
Yes.
We don't sound it, does he?
God, that's the biggest no. Every part of him said no there, apart from his mouth. Maybe we should make it clear. It's not food that he consumed in the dog. It's food that he consumed elsewhere.
Yeah, that was the mistake.
Yeah. You just only ever eat at the dog. We've got everything you need here.
There is a distinct smell of fish still present in the dog. Anyone who heard last week's episode who's curious, it would be very pleased to know the dog still smells of fish. And when I press the space bar on my laptop, it does not come back up.
Oh, it's just steeped in fish juice.
Yeah, absolutely disgusting.
And have you tried to clean it off with anything?
Well, obviously, I've got some, is it Method we use, I think? Eco Twat cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
Sprayed that on some kitchen towel, had a good scrub. You can't get in behind the keys, can you, without any sort of... I'd have to speak to an Apple wizard, wouldn't I? That what they call them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure it's what they do down at the Genius Bar.
Genius,
is how do you get fish guts out of my space bar. Oh, that sounds like one of those really bad Edinburgh titles, doesn't it? You know what? Once Paul McCaffrey, who... he's a friend of the dog. Me and him went to watch a show in Edinburgh called My Big Dick Is Making Me Thirsty.
Of course you did.
Because the title was so mad, we're like, this is going to be off the wall. It was on the outskirts of town, and it was just two very new comedians doing half an hour each. And we were the only people there. We're like, is it not a theme? They're like, oh, no, we just thought the title was funny. That's what it is. It's slightly misleading. It gives the idea that there's some thought about...
I came here for 60 minutes of crafted material about thirsty penises.
I know. And also, the thing I kept asking him was, why would having a big dick make you thirsty? And he was like, I don't know, it just was a funny thing I came up with, which I really liked. I was like, you're a genius, you are, mate. So, if you've got a big dick or if you're thirsty, email us, hello@downthedog.com.
Were there many women in that queue?
Well, it was just me and Paul, so no. I mean, there weren't many men in it either. It was just me and Paul, two eager boys hoping to find some cynic. I mean, they were two talented young men, but the title had obviously raised hopes that there was going to be some mad story.
Yeah.
And we felt slightly let down, but yeah.
I'd say you got what you deserved. You flicked through a brochure full of shows, full of talented people telling their tales of the different walks of life that we've all passed through, and you chose to spend your time going to watch a show called My Big Dick Is Making Me Thirsty. And I think you got exactly what you deserved.
Well, maybe I did. The festival's over now, so I can have a few beers.
It is. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Completed another fringe.
Thanks to the all of you who came, thank you. Great fringe. had a lovely time. Met some wonderful people.
Did you?
So nice, aren't they? Yeah. Someone left a Ryan Yates sticker on the microphone on my last shows. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And my pre-gig music was all very Forest-themed. So I had Shakira, that wacka wacka, hey, hey. Belinda Carlisle, Heaven Is a Place on Earth.
Is this the Forest playlist, is it?
Well, they're all like, they've all become chanter. Ooh, baby, do you know what that's worth? Morgan Gibbs White is the best on earth. Left foot, right foot, just what we need. Taking Forest to the Champions League.
Oh, I love hearing other teams chant.
If you're a fan, you get it. If not, you're like, well, this playlist is fantastic anyway. Do you know what I mean?
And talking of the Nottinghamshire Reds, very close to beating the Manchestershire Reds. Didn't, but talk to me about...
We've got to pull up a pew, lads, because and girls
here
and everyone.
This is Fordy's round. Gather round, Fordy's round.
We've got to talk about Rashford here. I mean, this lad is a saint. He can do no wrong. I feel emotionally connected to him in a way that I haven't probably any other footballer, even footballers I've idolised way more. But come on, Marcus. If you're a good man, you're a good man all the time. And you dived, mate. You dived.
Oh, really? You're calling him out? You're calling him out in the dog? Rashford. What would you do to if he came in here now? If he came in a dog with his mates, took the corner table, of course he does, took the corner table by the fruit machine.
Yeah.
You go up to him, you have a quiet word. What are you going to say to him?
I say, Marcus, I love you. I do not possess the vocabulary to do credit to what you've done for our country, for our people, for football. But on Saturday, you dived, mate. You were a dirty diver, and that is a bad thing. Please don't do it again. Please issue a fulsome statement admitting that you dived. And beg the FA and the Premier League to reissue Nottingham Forest with at least 1 point and call the damn thing a draw. I was gutted when I saw it. I was just like, man.
I've not seen it. Let me see if I can see it now. Anyone got a mobile? You pass me that mobile, Danny.
Get it on an iPlayer.
Rashford.
It's so bad.
What, is it a penalty?
Yeah, he dives for a penalty. I mean...
Chris Sutton claims referees are in Manchester United's pocket after winning another. Just to put you instantly where I am, if Chris Sutton thinks it wasn't a penalty, I think it was a penalty.
I would operate on the same rules, but I think this one might... You know what was mad? We go 2-0 up after 4 minutes. So obviously when you go 1-0 up too early, you're like, oh no. When you go 2-0 up early, you're like, oh yeah. And then some guy called Andy Parsnips on Twitter tweeted me and he's like... Don't worry, mate. They'll end up winning through some dodgy penalty. And it was like,
Parsnips knows, doesn't he? He's not in bullshit corner, is he?
Parsnips knows.
Not in gobshite corner. I can't find the footage.
I've put it on the group.
Of course you have.
Oh, he rises from the dead from his sick bed. Landlord Danny delivers.
Yeah.
Rather like that pizza place that give him the vomers.
Oh, and he's also posted the 2016 Edinburgh Fringe details for My Big Dick is Making Me Thirsty.
See?
And the write-up for that show is a hard-hitting, action-packed gigolo, not dissimilar to a high-class call girl.
I mean,
and the picture is his face coated in...
Milk?
Some sort of evaporated... Well, I don't think milk would stick like that. I think it's some sort of evaporated milk or perhaps a loosened yoghurt. Presumably designed to simulate male ejaculate.
I mean, I can't tell you how disappointing that show was. So watch this
penalty. I'm watching it now. I'm watching it on a loop. I mean, it's clearly not a penalty.
Yeah.
There's no contact made. And he leaps like a salmon, Marcus.
I know.
I've often thought, because I'm not a good footballer. I don't know if you knew that. I don't know if that's news to you.
I would say you were pretty good, actually. And I would love it if you were fully crap. But I would say you were good enough.
Yeah, good enough. Yeah, fine. I think the bar is always set by how bad people think I'm going to be.
You've got that air of superiority about you. So because you're good at, you know...
Well, I'm pathetic, aren't I? I'm a cardigan-wearing anagram fan. And nobody sees me turn up at a match and thinks, God, I bet he's got game.
Can we just if you can arrange the letters of cardigan-wearing anagram fan into a new anagram.
Yeah.
We'll buy you a pint. Hello at downthedog.com. Anyway, proceed. You were talking about your pathetic
life.
The
one thing I've got is...
big fat dick and it makes you thirsty.
I'm fiercely intelligent.
Right.
And I've often wondered, so in a situation where... It's maybe a 50-50, or in that sort of situation there, Marcus Rashford is clearly going round you.
Yeah.
You swing violently as if, you basically dummy a foul. So it's okay to dummy with the ball as if you're going to step over and then go round him and then you go the other way. That's seen as skillful. But is it skillful for a defender to basically swing their leg as if they fully intend to break the leg of the attacker, but pull away at the last minute? but so that the attacker does what Marcus does there, jump off the ball, flee, basically screaming. Yeah. Then you take the ball back and you carry on forwards.
That's clever. I mean, that's a great plan. But John, I've got to remind you, this game is played at a ferocious pace.
Yeah, but in that situation there, to me, there's no foul. So is that really good defending? Because it does look like he fully intends to take Marcus Rashford out. Marcus Rashford reacts as if he knows he's going to get taken out. It's obviously gone the way of the referee has said, well, I still think you intended to wipe him out and that's why he's gone down. And therefore, Marcus had to protect himself in that situation from, let's be honest, thuggery. I don't know who that Nottingham Forest player is, but he was basically saying, you will never walk again after this challenge. Marcus took evasive action. He had to do. He's one of England's shining lights. I think it probably is not just a pair. Was the Forest player sent off?
No.
No, well, that's it. You know, should there be a lesser punishment for attempted murder than murder? Ooh. The fact that he doesn't make contact doesn't change. I mean, you can't see it from that camera angle, but I would imagine he's sort of drooling. There's sort of red flash in his eyes, sort of giggling maniacally as he runs towards him, singing one of his Forest songs. You end up in the Trent, mate, or something like that.
Well, I mean, what is good is that you do agree that it wasn't a penalty. Oh, Forest have lodged a complaint. It's now on the BBC.
Oh, this reeks of our last season's. We're complaining to the FA about Everton because we think they've cheated. And they, of course, may have cheated, but it doesn't change the fact that we went down. And it will not change the fact that you have lost to Manchester United. You've played three, you've lost two, you're 14th in the league. You're being bailed out by the likes of Sheffield United, Burnley, Luton and Everton, who have yet to register a point this season.
But let me just because we both like news and this is news.
I love to read that on the CV. I like walking with friends and I like to keep up with current affairs.
I'm a jean-wearing news lover.
J'aime la bibliothèque.
Okay, this is courtesy of Simon Stone at the BBC. Nottingham Forest have lodged an official complaint with the Professional Game Match Officials Limited over the performance of the refereeing team in their 3-2 defeat at Manchester United. Forest boss Steve Cooper said he needed to bite his tongue over what he really felt about referee Stuart Atwell and his colleagues. It is understood Forest officials left Old Trafford seething over various decisions they felt were pivotal in deciding the game's outcome. Atwell sent off skipper Joe Worrell midway through the second half, deeming him to be the last man when he fouled Bruno Fernandes, even though central defensive partner Willie Bolly was close by. Oh, I can't actually read it. It pisses me off.
Yeah.
It always happens at places like
Feed me with your hate.
It pisses me right off.
But anyway. And I consoled our landlord, Danny, a couple of weeks ago by saying that Tottenham would be stronger without Harry Kane. I was sort of just being kind, but of course they've played 3-1-2. They're doing fine. They do necessarily, you know, as a result of losing Harry Kane, they've got a hole up front.
Oh,
you'd go and see that Edinburgh show, wouldn't you? Straight down there.
My big hole
up front. What do you make of the rumours that they intend to fill that hole with Brennan Johnson?
Well, I think they might, is the truth. If they obviously bid 50 plus mil, then it looks
like... Is that the asking price, is it?
It is. Brentford mucking us about with 35 million to go to Brentford. You're like, mate, come on now, grow up, be APs. I think if they offer 50 million quid, I think that would be a good deal. Talk of as well, Jed Spence could go to Leeds.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Great footballer. So you may be the beneficiary in a roundabout way of all this.
He's a right back, isn't he?
He is.
And we've got a few of those.
But he's a very adept attacking. He's basically Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Oh, so he can't defend.
He can't defend.
Trent, it's a safe space, defend. The dog, innit?
Yeah,
I was just mucking about, mate. I was only down the dog.
He says what he likes.
Let's talk of better leagues of the Championship. Genuine leagues with the cut and thrust of results that are not obvious.
You're banging them in on Saturday. Went 1-0 down, and it was like bang, bam, 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 bam.
Named a front four. Every one of them scored, including Pirro on his debut. First win since April, that.
Oh, my God, that's pathetic. Yeah. I'd rather not know that. God.
Well, you do know it, because I just sold you it. I thought you loved news.
So long ago.
He's gone right off news, R. Matthew.
I'm a big fan of news. That's news, it obviously has to be relevant. Yeah. This is more just like gossip. Fucking hell, John. What's the matter with Leeds?
We're a team on the up, mate. Undefeated Ipswich, as Marcel Bielsa used to call him, Ipswich, and he couldn't say it. They're defeated now, mate. I tell you that. They've lost one now. And then we are at home this weekend to bottom of the table, played for, lost for, Sheffield Wednesday.
Oh, wow. They just come up and all.
Cheeky little win there. We start knocking around near the playoffs.
Naughty. Nice little tasty Yorkshire derby. Yeah, you're 13th.
Yeah, that's all right, isn't it? We usually finish 12th in the Championship. That's about 12th, 16th, that sort of thing.
Yes, from about a heck of a start. 4 wins in 4.
Yeah. What? Got their business sorted early, brought in the right team. You can't fault it, can you?
Nah, obviously, there's still an attraction to Leicester, isn't there, what with them winning the Premier League and whatnot.
Of course. Leicester's supporting friend of mine I was speaking to this week said he thinks it seems they've actually ended up with all the transfer business with a better team this year than they had last year.
Does he have what I would call the Leicester yap?
Go on.
Oh, like that, aren't they? Like, obviously, like Derbyshire and Nottinghamshire's like that, isn't it? You know, yeah. Like, basically. You're all right, okay, how you doing? But like Leicester goes like that. So like they say it like Manchester. So it's like they've got like bit East Midlands, but then like yappy at the end, like Leicester.
He doesn't talk like that, no, but I'm enjoying you insulting the people of Leicester. It's good fun.
I love Leicester. I love, don't you dare try and drive a wedge between me and the good people of that.
You just drove that wedge, mate. You described them as yappers.
I love Leicester and I've had some wonderful times in Leicester. It's a great place.
What's your favourite thing about Leicester?
It's got some phenomenal restaurants, you've got to say, and some great pubs. I think nightlife in Leicester is among the best in the country.
Okay.
And I also like the fact that they've still got that big shoe shop in town. You get off the train and you're just like, shoes! Whoa. Thomas Cook was from Leicester, of course. His statue stands outside the station. So every time you're like, oh, thanks, mate, you basically invented holidays. What were we
founder
doing?
Founder of the budget holiday.
Founder of bloody holidays. You're like, we weren't going nowhere till that bloke showed up. I was like, you should go over there for a bit. You're like, all right, I'll try it. And then he'd made like billions doing it, probably.
Do you reckon we've got any listeners currently listening whilst stranded in an airport due to the flight fiasco last week once again? I don't know what the opposite of the curse is, but I've got it this year.
Yeah.
There's me banging on about train travel. Only the very next week, flight chaos. Across Europe, stranded travellers. Trains, they're shooting through, mate. No, you worry about the old trains.
Well, have you been stranded? Are you currently stranded? Do you need help? Firstly, contact, obviously, more relevant authorities, but also do email hello@downthedog.com. You know, we were talking about news earlier, John.
Yeah, we were. We love news. This is the podcast that isn't afraid to say it loves news.
There's a Republican presidential candidate who has been told to stop rapping Eminem songs. Have you seen him?
No.
The thing is, he's actually quite good at it. I don't know. I don't want to mispronounce his surname. His name's Vivek. I think it's Ramaswamy.
Right.
And he's like a young, he's 38, kind of, you know, Trump on steroids kind of guy. Photogenic young guy. And he raps Lose Yourself at a rally. And you're like, the problem is you're like, ah, ha, ha, politician raps. You're like, he's actually good at it.
Oh, is he?
He's really good at it. You're like, oh, actually, he knows the words. He's cool. So it's weird, isn't it? Rap and politics, should they mix? Should they? I'm never quite sure myself. I mean, I wouldn't want to see Keir Starmer or Rishi Sunak can do Vanilla Ice, which obviously isn't rap, but it sort of is.
God, well, you've answered your question there. As soon as you said rap and politics, should they mix? I was sort of on the fence of no. I think no, but I couldn't think of a good reason why. And just the image of Rishi Sunak doing Vanilla Ice, there's your answer there. Sod what? Off.
Okay, what politician would you most like to see rap?
Not a posh one. I can't be doing with that.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of like that ironic thing where Jacob Rees-Mogg would do NWA or something.
Andy Burnham.
Okay. Rapping what?
Gangster's Paradise.
I'd spend most of my life living in a gangster's pad. Power and the money and the power, minute after minute, hour after hour.
I didn't realise it was going to happen straight away.
Yeah.
I couldn't have said any politician there.
Come on, mate.
Tony Blair. Oh, of course, I forgot you were teeing me up. I'm so sorry.
Well, I wasn't really, but now I am.
Of course you were.
But now I am.
The problem you've got here is I don't actually know any rap songs. I'd like to see Tony Blair doing some Eminem.
I'm Slim Shady. Yes, I'm the real Shady. You other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So what, the real Slim Shady, please stand up. Please stand up. Please stand up.
What about the one chance, one opportunity, as performed by... who do you want me to tee you up for? Who are you doing at the minute?
Ed Miliband.
Ed Miliband.
That used to be the joke, anyway. Our own private joke.
Performed by Ed Miliband.
His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti is nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting. Dropping bombs is wrong, by the way. We were wrong to do it in Iraq. But he wrote down. The whole crowd grows alarm. He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking. How? Everybody's joking. Now the clock's run up. Time's up. Over. Blah. Snap back to reality. Up. There goes gravity. Up. There goes gravity. Choked. He's so mad, but he won't give up that easy. No, he won't have it. He knows he's on back to these ropes. It don't matter. He's don't. He knows that, but he's broke himself back to his mobile home. That's when it. Back to the lab again. It's all rhapsody. Better go catch in the moment and hope you don't pass him. You better lose yourself.
How devastating is it to find the closer for your Edinburgh show on the 29th of August?
You bitch.
That was very funny.
Now, we have had emails on a variety of subjects, John. Mm-hmm.
Anyone help me sort out my fishy laptop?
Well, let's have a look. So, fishy laptop tip. This is from Justine. News Justine.
Very nice. If she's going to Edinburgh, she's got her title, courtesy of Matt Ford.
Thank you. Anyway, Justine says, hello, John. Rubbing alcohol is what you need for your laptop. Soak the keyboard.
That's what I call it when I have a few too many drinks and then go to the bathroom with myself in a hotel. I can't have port. That's very much my rubbing alcohol. You know what I mean?
Well, she says, soak the keyboard for a minute or two, then turn it upside down to dry. Repeat if it still stinks. The rubbing alcohol will evaporate and sterilize the juice without any damage to your laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Lemon juice will just corrode. Good luck, Justine.
Thanks, Justine. That's very, that's genuinely helpful. I'm Googling rubbing alcohol now.
I've never heard of it, have you? It must be for stuff.
You can buy rubbing alcohol with a concentration of 70 or 99%. It's a bit like sort of dark chocolate, isn't it? It depends how hard you are. Even though you may think the higher concentration is more effective, experts say 70% is better for disinfecting. It has more water, which helps it to dissolve. You don't want to be touring water in there, do I? Penetrate cells and kill bacteria. It get rid of plant pests. It eases nausea after surgery. It won't lower fever. It can remove ink stains. Spilled ink on your shirt and don't have stain remover? Try rubbing alcohol. Oh, I'm going to end up carrying this round with me.
That sounds great, doesn't it?
Those guys always got a bit of rubbing alcohol.
It could be there for you tomorrow.
It can ease an ear infection, according to WebMD.
Bloody hell. I mean, this is like miracle juice.
Well, that's a good, listener scoop. I'll have that. Last week's pub dog was, of course, Alfie, who sleeps like he's been shot. Katerina said, he doesn't look like he's been shot. He looks like he's been on a five-day bender. That was her opinion.
Perfect pub dog, then.
Perfect pub dog. And on that, Cole says, do we need to have actual criteria on what makes a good pub dog? I'd suggest it should be old, gnarly, silent, undesirable, replaceable, unwaveringly obedient to its owner, indifferent to anybody that enters the pub, adopted or gifted or found.
The fact that replaceable is on there is really funny.
Yeah.
Obviously every week.
He says he's got a pub bike, which is a bike that he uses to get to the pub, that if he gets so pissed when he's there and forgets to go home on it or somehow loses it, he's not really bothered. And a good pub dog should have the same level of dispensability.
He's funny.
I can't agree with that. But the pub bike is a good tip.
Yeah, pub bike's nice.
Another scoop.
Yeah, another scoop.
Another scoop, I'd say. The exclusives really starting to roll here now.
Now, we've had our first nomination for a deceased pub dog. How do you feel about that?
Slightly melancholic.
Tom says, I would like to nominate the late Ratty, the Jack Russell, for pub dog of the week. Unfortunately, Ratty is no longer with us. However, I believe Ratty would have been a great exception, as he had a special trait which would have been perfect for your pub. Ratty was known for his ability to walk to the bus stop, get on the bus and jump off at his favourite pub, the Black Bull, to have a pint all on his own, then get the bus back home. I've attached a video of him on Good Morning Britain showing his trip to the pub. Believe it or not, he was passed being hit by a car on his way to the bus stop. Love the pod,
no.
Tom from York.
I'm just watching the video.
I think we can have a commemorative plaque, can we, as Dog of the Week for Ratty.
He's gone to the great pub in the sky.
Should we put the video on the Twitter
socials.
Social page, X page? Are we supposed to call it X now in conversation? No one's doing that, are they?
I'd call it Twitter. Fuck him. Yeah. Take the power back.
But yeah, I think any dog that can walk itself to the pub, have a pint and come home is Pub Dog of the Week, right?
Got to be. So Ratty.
And the video stops Tom going in bullshit a corner as well, because I might have questioned that otherwise. Top of the fan league, Lee Tesla of the straightforwardly named Tesla United, 227 points. I Axe to Sell Timber are in second place. Connor Manley and No Kane, No Gain. One for Danny and all the Spurs fans there. Thomas Spencer, he's in third, 217, but there's a lot of spread at the moment. We're only a few weeks in, aren't we? That's your top three in the fan league. Once again, 10 boys. It would be nice to have some female representation in there, wouldn't it? But perhaps we should stop talking about thirsty dicks.
Yes, I think that is get in touch. Hello at downthedog.com. And finally, one for the road, our final topic. Do you remember Neil, old Meatfoot?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, one Meatfoot.
He says, hello, lads. I'm proud of my Meatfoot in a moon boot. I hope this pub has better disabled facilities than my old local, as not long after my leg came off, I hadn't yet been fitted with a prosthetic one. I tried hopping to the toilet, no disabled one suitable for wheelchair access, and slid in a puddle of piss, nearly headbutting the urinal. I got free drinks for a week after that incident. Cheers, Neil with one leg.
And he sent us a picture of his Meatfoot in the moon boot.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Do you know what his kitchen reminds me of?
Go on.
Have you seen the video of the gentleman they call Lambord trying to neck, is it three or five
John
pints
Smith's.
Of John Smith's?
Yeah, it sounds like it's from Notts, doesn't he? He's definitely got an East Midlands accent that night.
Yeah, can't even do your own challenge, Lambord.
Spewing everywhere.
That looks a similar kitchen to me. I don't think he is Lambord, but I tell you what, Neil, if you are, I mean, free drinks for life in the Dog and Bastard if you're Lambord.
Free drinks for life in the Dog, mate. Absolutely. And I love the clock on your wall, if that means anything to you. I love a big clock.
Yeah, I do.
Great. I'd love a big clock, but I don't have the wall space. Well,
all right. That's a sad end to the podcast.
I think it's a great end to the podcast.
I'd love a big clock, but I haven't got the wall space.
One day I will. And my dream of having a big clock will be realised. You can get in touch with us if you've been affected by any of the stories. If you've got any life hacks, email us hello@downthedog.com. And of course, leave a 5-star written review, share it far and wide. And we'll see you next time.
Don't get up the cat, get down the dog.
Bye.
Bye.